What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another episode of the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and a whole other extra section of weird news, all in one lovely to find episode. I am joined, as always, by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Conor. I'm excited to talk every form of news, both movie and weird, this week.
What did you think of my intro there? I'm still trying to figure it out.
I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty good. We're only five episodes into this show, though, so like it's going to take, I would say, 4 years.
We're only new. We're only babies.
This is our first ever podcast.
If you want some movie news, that's absolutely fine. It's all here. We are probably going to cover all of the week's news. And then there's going to be a timestamp in the description down below. And if you prefer weird news, maybe a bit of comedy, maybe a bit more laid back chat, that is going to be down below in the description as well. You can click on that, go straight to whatever section of the episode you'd like, and it's all there. So, if you also want to give us a like, follow, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, it would really, really help us out. 5 stars still going up on Spotify. It's really great to see.
Despite the fact that I keep asking for 4. But
you do,
you know,
consistently ask for less than 5 stars, which kind of hinders the point. But
they'll get it. They'll figure it out.
In reverse psychology, you're negging them. You're not smart enough to hit the 5 stars.
Dude, engagement is engagement.
We should just start saying we like really terrible people.
Just have really polarizing takes.
Terrible opinions. Just really bad.
I think The Rock isn't nice to work with.
Burn down orphanages.
Oh, right. Those are two different viewpoints. Oh, heavens.
Oh, no. He came in stronger. Oh, no.
I need to make a call.
I have several orphanages being burned right now.
Oh, they're already burning.
Nobody clipped that, by the way, and sent that to my employers. Imagine just randomly opening up an email and it's like one of your employees saying burn down orphanages. You'd be like, was it a bit? It had to be a bit.
But look, the views of myself does represent the views of my company.
That is true. The whole company does agree with me on the burning of the orphanage. So look, what are you going to do? So Sean, I think what's important with movie news is we got to start off. Also, by the way, we released a movie review over on the Patreon last week.
Oh boy, did we.
And we reviewed Irish Wish. Do you remember that movie with Lindsay Lohan set in Ireland that came out like 2 months ago?
I wish I didn't have eyes, because then I wouldn't have had to watch
it. Here's the thing. The patrons get to choose whatever movie we review every month, and they hate us. So
the
they
patrons,
always choose.
By and large, are dickheads.
They always choose. By and large. But they always choose the movie that they know is going to be a hate crime against Irish people. I respect it, but at the same time, I also have to live it. So there's a problem there.
If you want to check it out, but you're not quite sure, if you go over to Patreon, there is like a 5-minute preview of the first 5 minutes of the episode, and I think we sell it there how bad this movie is.
I think you say you want to throw yourself out a window.
I just do damage to myself in general. But if you want to just click over to Patreon and check it out, it's a good intro to our style of movie reviews.
Yeah, we also do good movies over there when they allow us. Sean, it is time to get into the movie news segment of the show. And there's only one real place to start. And we're not going to start with Rocky, but we are going to start with possibly the saddest piece of news that I heard, and I know you're torn up about it. I'm sure you've probably been crying the last few days thinking about
it. It's
about what was your most anticipated movie of the year?
Oh, Dune 2, but that's come out. So.
No. Later on in the year.
Later on in the year. Was it Wolverine and Deadpool?
You love Spider-Man. I know you do. And I know that you love Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery. You're a big fan of them. You absolutely love them.
I think I see where this is going.
But the saddest news ever hit this week, and I mean, I had a few tears, and that is that Sony's Kraven the Hunter has been delayed again.
Well, which is this the third delay?
It's the third delay. We're all very torn up about it. Aaron Taylor-Johnson, about to start eagerly anticipated film, Kraven the Hunter. It is now slated for a Christmas release.
They're burying this.
So it's going to be coming out on December 13th, 2024. And Sean, it's going to be a great day. Mostly because Craven is there and you're obviously going to open it day. Will they move your tickets from August now to December?
I assume they'll honour that. Like that. I'll email them, cravenfan1@gmail.com. Don't email that person, I don't know who that is.
It was originally slated for January 2023. Then it got pushed back to October 6th last year. Then it got pushed to August 30th of this year. And now has been pushed again to December of this year. I'm assuming they're incredibly confident about it, and that's why they're putting it in a Christmas segment. Christmas time, it's a very big time, get the family, go to the cinema. They think this is going to make, probably $3 to $6 billion.
I mean, it's a shoo-in, you know. People have nothing but disposable income at Christmas time. So they really want to go to a movie that everyone knows, let's be honest, is going to be shit. The best it could be is Venom.
So this is, by the way, if you haven't been keeping up with Sony's recent run of superhero movies, why me and Sean are being a bit down on it is that Sony have a track record of only producing bad movies. So yeah. Their last two have been Madame Web, and then before that was Morbius.
Venom and Venom Let There Be Carnage. Venom 1 is fine. It's the most fine movie. Let There Be Carnage, I'll be honest, I did not see.
It's fine as well. It's absolutely fine. Like, if you don't watch it, your life has not changed.
Yeah, and this is the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters, Spunk. They do make other good movies, for what it's worth.
Oh yeah, they do also, like, Spider-Verse and stuff, but that's like a whole separate division. That is not this division. This division, if you don't know, is the Spider-Verse division of, like, the live action, because they have the character of Spider-Man, but he's played by Tom Holland, and he's kind of working for Marvel. So instead, they came up with the plan that they would have a universe built with villain movies, because everybody loves going to the movies to watch the villains. Everyone knows that. So they did Venom, and then they did Morbius, and then they did Madame Web, who's kind of a hero, but they did it so terribly that it's a weird one.
It's weird, and also that's not connected to Venom and Morbius at all. They just fucking
just do
made
Spider-Woman.
Also, they had Spider-Woman with Sydney Sweeney, and they didn't just make that a movie. We've made a video of this. It's baffling. It makes no earthly sense. My question to you.
Yes.
With your knowledge of Spider-Man villains.
Yeah.
Who is the one that they could not possibly fuck up to make a solo movie for?
I was going to say Doc Ock.
I was also thinking Doc Ock. Because
what about Rhino?
Rhino,
we covered on A Hero Zero a few weeks ago, and he's incredibly, like, he's just a normal guy who gets stuck in, like, a terrible cycle.
He's a man out of his depth, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not inherently a bad guy. Mm. He's good at what he does, and what he does isn't very nice.
Notoriously, though, Craven also not a very bad guy. You've told me that, Sean.
No.
He is one of the kindest, sweetest little boys in all of comic books.
Fully murdered Spider-Man for a time and buried him alive, but, you know.
What? He stopped hunting
cloned
animals
himself
after he got too good.
Cloned himself 100 times and then made the clones fight and kill each other.
He's an anti-hero, is what you're saying.
I don't think he's ever done good, objectively.
I don't think he's ever done anything good to anybody, ever.
I just make a Ben Reilly. If you want an anti-hero, Ben Reilly, surely.
People don't know Ben Reilly is Spider-Man's clone. You could technically get away with that by just having a Ben Reilly movie who's, like, just a clone.
And what you do, you get Tom Holland's brother to play him.
Oh, he needs the work. He needs the work.
He's doing good, but he's not doing as good as Tom.
But imagine the Holland family are, like, both of them. That would be great.
That would be class. For the bit alone, I think that's worth it.
I mean, I knew you would be sad about this. Craven has been your most anticipated movie. You did get, if I remember correctly, incredibly mad when this was announced, just due to the fact of why does it exist. But now I think you're coming around.
No. Look, Connor, I've covered Craven about three times on Hero Zero. And look, those reports do not indicate my level of enthusiasm, because every time something happens in the background that completely fucks my mood. But I love Craven so much. The one good Craven report, I told you about it when we were on the radio.
That's true. That is true. And people don't know, the running gag of really, really long-term listeners of the show. This is only the fifth episode, by the way. So, but like, we released our first episode 5 years ago. It's weird. Don't ask. But we released several Hero Zeros based off Kraven the Hunter, because the first time we ever released it, I think it was like the fifth or sixth ever Hero Zero.
Early doors.
I had just finished sports training.
Yeah.
And it was about 10 o'clock at night. And Sean was like, we'll record after you get back. And I was like, cool. But I was still high on endorphins. And Sean was
I was working in the factory at the time, I think.
I think you were very sleepy.
Yeah.
You had to be up at like 5 o'clock in the morning the next day, right?
It was bad.
And so it was the funniest report of all time, in that the Hero Zero sounded like Sean had just was like about to fall asleep at any moment, and I had taken a big bag of drugs. Because I was like, I was wired. I was like talking.
I was giving you nothing, but you were running with it. It was fascinating.
It was like watching a guy in a local improv scene full of cocaine working with people.
It's the ultimate yes and.
I was yes anding myself, and you were just like, Kraven the Hunter is a very dangerous man.
I'm going to cover Kraven again, and I'm going to do it properly this time.
He's fucked up, man. He kills loads of people, but he's Sony. I'm very sad. This movie with Aaron Taylor-Johnson, I mean, look, it could be good, we don't know, but why does it exist is really the question we always ask here. Rather than if it's going to be good or bad, who is this for? It's probably a stronger question.
Tax write-offs, I would say. I think that's the main reason. Or just to keep the rights to the characters.
Mostly to keep the rights. So, Sean, we're going to move on to the new story I know you want to talk about. Oh, and God. That is Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Ryan Reynolds reportedly clashing on the Red Notice set.
So, we've had beef for years. With Dwayne Johnson. Everyone said, oh, he's a lovely... I love Maui and all the rest
of
it.
Yeah.
We knew from the beginning.
So the long-term story of this is that, as a laugh, a few years ago, we were like, who's the most liked person in Hollywood? And we were like, Tom Hanks, maybe, The Rock. So we were like, The Rock is the worst. And we just really went hard on him for one or two episodes to be like, we're going to start a beef because that will help our ratings.
Yeah, we were trying to get clout by starting beef with The Rock.
Social media.
It was a very laboured bit.
But I love the fact that we never messaged him.
We never did anything about it. We just said it on air.
We just had a load of YI on us while we had our fists up. But we basically said to everyone he was obviously secretly murdering people, and, you know, just general things of just made up stories that we just made up that were clearly untrue.
Slander, you would call it.
But you all laughed at us. Well, who's laughing now? Because
vindicated.
The bit has become real. Because recently it came out, this is from reports of a movie that he did with Netflix with Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot a few years ago, that he was turning up 7 to 8 hours late to set every single day, and Ryan Reynolds was completely infuriated by the whole thing, and that they were consistently fighting, because I think Ryan Reynolds rightly was like, hey dude, I've been here since the call time.
Yeah.
Where the fuck have you been?
Because, and like, The Rock's schedule is like, he does get up at like 5 a.m. and shit. So
yeah, he's clanging and banging.
Fucking job.
He's clanging and banging in the gym.
Like, also, showing up 8 hours late to work, that's a work day. Like, you've just missed everything.
So Red Notice was officially given a sequel, but the project doesn't have a production date as of yet. Apparently there was a massive rift between the two of them, but it also has now been claimed that it's not as dramatic as first reported. But I think with the real story, this is just real TMZ shit, where like they're like, there's a beef, oh my god, it's bad, right? The real news story isn't that. This, the real news story, I think, which is interesting about this, is I think this is the first time Dwayne has been, like, fully, like, called out. Because his PR team are Newsly, bang, they crushed that immediately.
They shut that shit down. I think Rebecca Ferguson had a thing, and she was like, she worked with someone that she wouldn't want to work with again. And everyone was theorizing it was The Rock. And then this seems to have put a few
nails in
that
coffin.
But The
Rock did a pure galaxy brain kind of thing, because he responded to the Rebecca Ferguson thing going, fuck, that's terrible.
That guy
whoever
sucks.
That was. That guy, whoever he is, he sucks, man. He fucking sucks.
Like, it's, yeah, no, but this is the first, like, I feel like The Rock's having a bad run for a man who was so media trained and was loved by the media for a very long time, because he's an interesting character. He's had a few knocks, and he just keeps trying to recorrect, and nothing happens.
It's very, very interesting, only just due to the pure public perception. I don't think it'll hurt him. I think, by and large, the public are still like, that's The Rock. They don't, that's fine. It's just interesting to watch, because I think ever since Black Adam, it's been just this really weird vibe with The Rock. And the, like, he was so sure that Black Adam was going to work, and then it didn't. And it was,
and he made
it
other
like,
projects worse because of it.
And like, Ralph, it was the Ralph Wiggum moment where you could see that the moment where his heart breaks, because like, watching that. Now, he's recently come back to wrestling, is what I will say.
His bread and butter.
His bread and butter, and his company have actually taken over to WWE. He is now, like, executive producer of WWE.
I don't think he should be, if he's in it. Because this is the same man who had a quota of how many punches he would take in a movie.
True, but I mean, he does have other people there with him, but you're not going to disagree with The Rock. But
no,
he's because
the one
recently,
out there at the end of
Vince
the
McMahon, who was in the company, he's
what happened to him? What's going on there?
Absolutely
Brock
not.
Lesnar?
Just They got fired because they were sending texts to each other just about how great everything is in life. If you don't believe me, just look at Vince McMahon texts.
All the information you need will appear.
That's all you need. Allegations, maybe. That's fine. But The Rock's team have come in. I think, though, that's really... We're going to see a lot less of The Rock, I think, at acting moving forward. I think he's going to move more into the wrestling. Solely because I think the acting thing, I think for every one of these stories that come out and for every one of those movies that come out to like a mediocre to lessening response, I think he's going to withdraw more and more into being like, I'm the biggest star here. I'm going to stay here.
He is in an A24 film coming up, I do believe. Which is like his like he's done a lot of action and stuff like that. The Smashing Machine. He's playing an MMA champion. So I think that's the best case scenario for him to do a film with stuff he's already kind of good at, and then get some acclaim as an actor. Whereas, like, I think at the minute he's just the action movie guy, is
and
how he comes
I
across.
Suppose what's really interesting, just psychologically, is how far does he go the other way? Like, how many videos are we going to see of him gifting people houses and trucks? How many videos does it take to kind of... It's not even a bad stench off him, but it's there's something.
It's not real. It's very... He's doing
it on
purpose.
The Rock's been like that for years.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But now it's like it used to, because that kind of thing worked in like 2012.
Oh, that killed Facebook in 2012, 2015, unreal.
People had hope. Ellen was giving everyone fucking swimming pools and cars and the rest of it.
By the way, the last good bit of The Rock, if you've seen in the public, was Kevin Hart and him doing the impressions of each other on Lad Bible. That was, I think, peak of like that run, and then and then everyone started doing all those videos to get all the extra clicks, and then it got completely saturated. But that was Lad Bible had really got at that exact moment, and they put out that video.
He became a parody of himself, basically.
Also, do you know what probably killed him was Dave Bautista?
Honestly, who was just been killing it consistently since
He's never in any videos for Lad Bible. Doesn't give a shit.
No, he'll do like those variety interviews where they just talk about movies and film and everything like that.
Dave Bautista coming out has been the complete opposite. Like, you never, because Dave is a very, very, from what I can tell, he's more reserved.
He's a more reserved
person.
He just stays home, collects his lunchboxes, he's happy.
And he just, like, I'll work with any villain now, I don't care. I'll work with any, I just want to be in a good movie.
He had a quote, and someone asked him, oh, do you want a career like The Rock's? And he just said, I just want to be a good actor. That's all I want to do.
I can't see Dave having a team. Like,
no, I can't see Dave having a motivational workout app.
But you see, I can see John Cena having that. I think John Cena and The Rock are very similar.
Yeah, John Cena is toeing that line.
He's really trying.
Yeah, John Cena is a company man.
PR speak to the N degree. Like, you ask him a very specific question, and he will talk for 10 minutes and not say anything.
Exactly. Yeah, but like he has a feeling that he's not seeking the spotlight, and it's just thrust upon him. Whereas The Rock is like, no, he wants everyone to love him all of the time, really.
And,
bad.
And that was true for years.
Yeah.
And it's literally only recently now that we're like seeing a man go insane in his own brain to be like, why is everything I'm doing not working?
How old is he? Is he pushing 60?
50, maybe 53, 54.
Dwayne Johnson, age, you're 52, actually.
52, okay.
So he's like, he's not, like, old either. Like,
no, he wrestled, like, 3 months ago, or, like, last month.
Yeah, and he fucking killed it, man. He did really good. But, look, he's just... He just seems like a lot. Is the best way I can put my feelings towards The Rock.
And it's one of those where I'm sure he's actually a nice man. Like, he's nice, and he's really funny and really talented, but it's like he's just been eaten up by the machine. The machine has, like... swirled him around.
Yeah, and I don't think he knows which way he's facing anymore.
Yeah.
I think he's doing this live action Moana as well because he's just, that's safe. People
what,
like
what's
that.
Good? What is good? Yeah, exactly. I don't know what Dave's in next, but probably something fucking weird, and I enjoy that.
Dave Bautista filmography?
He's been doing quite well recently.
He has. He's been in so many successful projects.
Must have died a rock.
Oh, big time.
I mean, he's in Dune 1 and 2.
He's in... do you know, he was in Smallville for an episode. That's wild.
What?
In a thing called The Killer's Game, The Last Showgirl, a drama film.
Did you know, by the way, actually, I've just thought of something. Can you imagine The Rock playing Dave Bautista's role in Dune, where Austin Butler gets him to lick his fucking boot?
No, The Rock would never do that.
Never.
The Rock can't. I think The Rock is too wrestling pilled that the kayfabe is so inbuilt in him.
That he's like, I have to look strong. Gotta look strong.
He can't separate a character from himself in what they're capable
like,
of.
Dave will just make himself the butt of every single joke. We're just big fans of Dave. We want him to play Bane in a Batman movie and just 100%. Kill it.
But The Rock would never play Drax.
No, because Drax is the butt of every single joke in every single scene.
Drax is the comic relief.
Yeah. Okay, so we just wanted to touch on that. I don't think we have anything to add. I mean, we're not going to go this is amazing. Oh my God, the drama. I don't really give a shit. It's just fascinating to watch a man crumble. It's really weird psychologically to watch someone so popular, struggle. I think he doesn't know which way direction to go now, because these stories are coming out. And I don't know why they're coming out. Unless Ryan Reynolds' fucking side released it. We don't know.
I guess it's just hearsay and rumours for the most part. But
and to probably big up the sequel that's coming out as well.
Oh yeah. But who cares? Did you watch Red Notice? Is that any good?
No, I didn't.
Apparently it's the biggest movie Netflix has ever had. I don't know.
Fantastic. Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news, and we are talking Chris Hemsworth, who this week said that he can't forgive himself for Thor Love and Thunder. I got caught up in the improv and the wackiness, and I became a parody of myself. I didn't stick to landing, he said.
You know what, Chris? Generally, there would be someone on set to direct your acting motions.
Maybe some just direct you in some sort of, I don't know, performance.
Yeah, point you in the way to successfully portray the character in the best way possible for the film.
Yeah.
So, clearly that wasn't the case.
You know, look, he's on the press tour at the minute, I think, for Furiosa. So he's having some conversations and people are questioning the Thor Love and Thunder, because I think this is like the best time to ask him, and it obviously got a mixed response.
Yeah.
Mixed, is that the right
negative answer? I would say
mixed to negative, I would say. And
it's a bad movie.
He's basically kind of come out and he's said he took the improvisations too far and turned it into a bit of a parody, which is very like Chris Hemsworth, like, I'm the hero. That was all me, brother. That's nobody else. Because him and Taika are friends, so...
I'm sure he's... I think Taika, with Ragnarok, did a lot for Hemsworth as an actor and Thor as a character.
Mm.
But then the fall-off in Love and Thunder is just insane in quality.
I think it might be a situation... They're both equally responsible. I know it's easy to shit on Taika because Taika's star has fallen a lot in like
very
5 years.
Like The Rock.
Like, weirdly, yeah. Like weirdly.
He became too much of himself.
Yeah, but I do think it's 50-50 because I think there's no way that movie's getting made without Chris Hemsworth signing off on everything. Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
True. I would say it's 70-30 to Taika. I get what you're saying, totally. But I do think a director should be able to say to an actor, hey, can we just get one regular one? You know? I don't think that's a lot to ask.
I suppose the question now becomes, do we see Thor again? Is that done?
I don't know where any of this sits, to be honest. It's Deadpool and Wolverine is the next MCU project coming out in July. And then I think it's a bit of a drought, aside from maybe a TV series here or there.
What about Agatha, Covenant of Chaos?
Is that still happening? Cancel it, please.
I have my weekly Agatha update. Still don't know if it's happening. I like the update, but I never actually look anything up. I'm just like, don't know. Could be happening, might not
exists.
Be.
I don't see the point in that. I don't see the point in a lot of stuff that they're doing right now. I would rather just get to the reboot that's inevitably happening than having to shuffle through all of the shit that's just there for the sake of it.
Speaking of this, it leads us on to our final story, and that is the Russo brothers coming out this week, and they did an interview. And obviously, Russo brothers, if you don't know, they directed a Captain America Civil War, Winter Soldier, and Endgame, and Infinity War. Basically, like, the most successful movies... financially, the most successful movies of all time. That's not to say they're the best movies, but financially, they are the most successful. So, Avengers directors say Marvel's recent problems aren't due to superhero fatigue, but a big generational divide about how you consume media. Sean, I wanted to kind of touch on this as a last topic, because I think it's an interesting conversation to have.
I don't think that's incorrect. I don't think it's superhero fatigue, because Guardians 3 was class. The Batman was phenomenal. Mm. Like, there are spaces to tell these stories. Comics are successful for fucking nearly 100 years for a reason. There's good stories there. But they need to be, you know, they need to be good stories.
I disagree, though. It's not about how you consume the media. I mean, to me, right, you set up stories for like 23 movies or whatever, and you build up to a movie literally called Endgame. So the idea that you think psychologically people in the cinemas, like, they're watching those. Do you remember, like, before Endgame, people are like, you got to watch all these movies.
Yeah,
one by
yeah.
one by one. This is a series.
That's why this podcast is a thing. Like, that was our bread and butter.
Like, that is why everybody was into that stuff. It was, like, a perfect build. And then you get the crescendo, you get the finish off the story. And then, the idea that, like, well, we'll just continue on the story is madness. Yeah.
They had no plans for after, is the thing.
But that's the most comic, by the way. The most comic book thing ever.
I've talked about this before, and I'm fascinated by how closely comic book movies are following the actual comics industry. And they're just speedrunning everything.
Like, it's genuine. It's fascinating just because, like, in comic books, you get an arc, a story that, like, builds over years. Yeah. And, like, it builds, and like people, and a story gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and then there's a massive build off. Crisis of Infinite Earths, or like something massive happens, and then afterwards sales died out because it's like literally everyone needs a detox for like a few years.
Yeah,
and
it's then like this was a lot need, all at once.
You need like one of your friends to be like, "Oh, have you read the recent Batman run? It's actually pretty good. It was a bit slow there for a little bit, but it's actually getting pretty strong."
I've heard this recently, actually, with Ultimate Spider-Man has gotten a lot of people back into comics, mostly on word of mouth of how good it is. Like, and it's like, oh, here's just a really good Spider-Man story. And you don't need to know everything. You can just enjoy it.
But the thing about that is that it builds. So, like, but that takes ages. That's not like, you can't just go $2 billion movie, $2 billion movie, $2 billion. And then we'll have the big finish. And then the next movie will just make $2 billion again. It's fine.
I think, look, people's ways of experiencing media has changed. It had to because of the pandemic.
True.
But I think that it's not people's fault. It's studios with a fundamental misunderstanding of what people actually want. People didn't go to those, this ties into your point, people didn't go to the cinema for every movie because they wanted to see Iron Man's new suit. They went because they wanted to follow a story that they cared about.
It was a bigger story, bigger than whatever movie was actually happening there. Like, people were going to see Ant-Man 2. Not because they love Ant-Man 2.
No.
But they were like, this might have effect. Because everyone was just thinking, okay, Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame. Like, you were thinking of the big build-off to the story. Because we knew the run. We knew that it was going to be 2012 to 2019? So 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, from the first Avengers, even, say. So, like, the first Avenger was the big, massive team-up. Everyone kind of flocked to that. Even if you didn't watch Phase 1... Everyone kind of watched the Avengers movie, like, oh, that is pretty decent.
Yeah.
And then you, like, come in there.
I saw Incredible Hulk and then Avengers and then watched Iron Man.
Yeah, I think I did Iron Man, nothing else, then Avengers, then went back with Cap and Thor.
Yeah.
But, like, it's all you didn't need anything, you just needed that one. That is the equivalent of you, someone said to you, that Ultimate Spider-Man stories, they're pretty good, this run is actually really good. That's the first Avengers movie. And then you're on board, and then you're with them until the end.
Yeah, and they kept hitting it. And so it was like, oh yeah, I'll stick with this. And then they kept missing and missing and missing, and just, it felt... This is weird emotion to put on a film, but it felt like insulting of just like, hey, just watch this. This is like, just take whatever we give you, kind of a thing.
Because even like, I think the best way to describe it is even in 2016, I was already thinking, how are they going to build to the next big movie? But like now, like I can't, if I'm sitting here and you're like, oh, Kang is coming down the line or like whatever it is, I really don't give a shit. Like, I'm just like, we've had the big build-off. We've come in on step one with, like, Iron Man and Captain Thor, and we've gone through a whole cycle, and you literally call the last movie Endgame. And I think the idea that, like, people can come out and say, oh, well, we should have just kept it going. There was no way. It was a poison chalice. It was never, ever going to be able to keep going, no matter how hard they tried.
No, they couldn't sustain it for as long as they wanted to. It had to have an ending.
Like, the only movie that's been good of this, like, properly really good has been Guardians 3. But that's because their characters from the previous 10 years that everyone really was emotionally invested in.
That's another conclusion, but a conclusion to characters we were already bought into because of what we've seen them do.
Yeah.
And their story wasn't wrapped up at the end of Endgame, where a lot of them was. And much of this phase has been just treading water until they do a reboot. Which really sucks and is not fun to watch. Like, because we know Secret Wars is coming, which is, but like, that is the reboot property. Anytime something comes up, just do a Secret Wars.
But I think the best thing about that, superhero fatigue, I think there is fatigue, but I think they kind of get it wrong. I think there's fatigue for massive tentpole universes. Because I think people are burnt out on the idea of like having to be involved for 15 movies or 25 movies. But the Batman comes out. That's one movie. It's not connected to anything. People just go like, oh, this is fucking good. This is great.
Yeah, cool. you can just tell these stories. Like, that's...
And I think you have to do that for a few years. I think the logical thing is for 5 to 10 years, I think you got to go back to one movie. Just like one or two of unconnected movies of just all these characters. And then eventually when people kind of, you get a new generation and you really do need a new generation of people who weren't there for the original. And then you're like, let's go phase one again. We'll ramp it back up.
Like, and that might succeed. It's very hard to make that succeed. Like, look at the Star Wars prequels. Like, that was, they waited for a new generation. And to be fair, that new generation liked it a lot more than the original generation.
But they were bad. They were bad movies.
Well, the third one's okay. but, like, I would love, my dream would be, one major superhero movie a year. But then if you want to do the Disney Plus thing, do the special presentation. Like, Werewolf by Night is one of my favourite things that they made. Because it's just its own little weird contained thing, and it's very personal and stylized. And it doesn't have a massive overarching story. It's just like picking up, like The Killing Joke is just a Batman story. Or The Long Halloween is just a Batman story. Like, there's room to just have a story and that's it.
Yeah, like...
Blade news we had last week of, like, it's going back to just Blade killing vampires. Why wasn't it that from the start?
And just don't connect it to anything. Just have a Blade movie. Just have Wesley Snipes style... Blade movie.
And then if you have a big story you want to tell and it would really help if Blade was there, fine, then put him in.
It actually works even better because what you do is you release the Blade movie this year, say 2024, 2025. Then you're releasing like little movies along the way of just like, this character, we have a cool idea for this weird character, let's just do a movie on them. And it might only make like a quarter to half the money. Stop putting $250 fucking million dollars into all these movies.
Because it doesn't look like you do. It doesn't look like a $250 million.
It's a waste of time. And so maybe spend $100 million to $50 million on a movie. And actually, Deadpool's a great example of that. The first Deadpool movie, not connected to anything.
Made just its own thing.
Cost $50 million, made a shit ton of money because it wasn't connected to fucking anything. It was just a weird movie. Now it's like 2, 3, 4, whatever. But like,
if you just
do one good one for one weird character, then you have the chance 5 years down the line that you can bring that character back in a cameo and people give a shit.
Yeah, and then there's like, it drives new interest towards that previous movie as well and it gets another second life on your streaming service that you want to drive people towards.
Yeah. I think the Fantastic Four, I'm very worried about that. I'm very worried about all these movies. I think
they should cut it back to like 4 movies. And it's like Deadpool, Wolverine, Blade, Fantastic Four, and then Secret Wars.
What, in a year?
No. That's the next, like, over the next 5 years, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if we have to cut some good stuff. Get rid of it and just start again.
Just go blank for... Yeah. I mean, I'm always of the opinion they should have just stopped for, like, 3 years. Now, look, there's people in suits that are like, financially, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah, oh yeah, look, art is a business and money is money. But
yeah, like, they don't give a fuck, right? But if you were to actually do it properly, you're going to stop for 5 years, and then that first trailer is going to hit like crack. If Endgame came out, and you stopped until even next year, which would be 5 years from Endgame, and imagine like there was just silence, and nothing came out. And then the only movie come out, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. and then maybe that's it. And then, like, literally nothing. And then just the first trailer for some character. And everyone's like, oh, shit, we're back.
Yeah. This, like, that's... In a perfect world, that's kind of the way you would do it. You would give people time to breathe. Fantastic Four left comics for, like, 6 years. And then when they came back, it was a whole celebratory thing.
Not like, every run of Batman is something I like. There's some runs that I'm like, oh, that's not great. I just leave it. I'm just like, yeah, I'll just leave that. I'll wait until like somebody else comes in, a writer. Oh, Grant Morrison is back. Cool. I'll read that. Let's see what this is about.
But it's like, you can pick and choose. With comics, you can pick and choose what you read and what you believe and what your like headcanon is and everything like that. It's harder with a movie. And also, stop making everything a Disney Plus series. It's really just exhausting.
Well, that's what I mean. Just stop. Just fully just like cut it and then just leave it for that's years. But
also, the superhero fatigue argument of like, oh, you need to follow along with everything to make it make sense. No, you don't. A lot of those series are just bad and don't mean anything.
That's true. That is absolutely true. It's a waste of time. Maybe, if you make 6 good episodes for just a random character, people will watch that. And then just... That's fine. It doesn't have to connect to anything. You don't need you don't even need a cameo. You don't even have to pay anybody. It's fine.
Yeah, just tell a goddamn story.
It's like them redoing the whole Deadpool, or not Deadpool, Blind Guy, Daredevil.
Daredevil series.
They shot the whole thing and they're like, wait, this isn't working. And then they had to bring back all the original people.
They brought back all the original people and got actual showrunners involved. Which wild idea, guys.
Why did everyone love Daredevil? Was it connected to anything? When did people stop watching those series? When they started bringing in all the other characters. They got Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage had less viewers. And then Danny Rand had even less viewers. And then it's like, oh, now we got to do a big team up. Just do a good series.
We've always said, just make a good one.
Just make
we'll
one.
What happens.
I just don't connect to that. Okay, that is the end of the movie segment of the show, Sean. You can now put in the weird news jingle.
I refuse. Nah, I'm just
assuming
kidding.
You put
it
in. This is weird news, Sean. What do we do here?
You have spent the week gathering all of the weirdest news stories from around the world. You're about to read them all out to me, a man who has been too busy using AI to put jingles into songs.
Did you use AI?
No, I didn't. I don't know how to. To be honest, I'm scared of it. It'll take over the pod.
It'll definitely take your job.
Do you think there's enough voice samples of us now to just create voices of us?
Yes, 100%.
100%. I know we're only 5 episodes in, but like,
no, look. I know it's our fifth. We actually, you know what? A lot of listeners for a fifth episode.
I think we're very proud of us.
A lot of people would have to work a few years to get this kind of thing, but I'll take 5 episodes in. Joe Rogan, we're coming for you.
5-star ratings as well.
Straight off the bat. So, Sean, it's a fifth episode, by the way, so 5 stars. That's how it works.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's connected.
We don't make the rules, but you have to.
What can you do?
Or else Connor gets shot.
Different Connor.
Random Connor somewhere in
a
the
little
world.
Orphan. So Sean, we are going to start off with weird news, and this was sent in to us multiple times on Instagram and on,
is this what I think it is?
On Facebook and on Twitter, because I said, I have a little girl said monsters were in her bedroom. It was 60,000 bees.
Oh, this isn't what I thought it was. Holy shit. How many times do you think that girl's parents told her, don't worry about it, you're just imagining things?
When 3-year-old Sailor Class began complaining of monsters in her bedroom, her parents thought it was just a figment of the child's overactive imagination.
Those are the parents in a Christmas film that say, oh, Santa's not real.
They are the parents in every horror movie ever. And they're like, the doll is... like spit, their head is spinning and they've got a knife. Yeah, okay.
Honey, please, I've got to get to this meeting.
But then a beekeeper discovered tens of thousands of honeybees above the girl's bedroom. So Sailor had complained of monsters in the wall of her room at their farmhouse in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her mother, Ashley, and her husband thought nothing of it. Just...
Why would you?
Our child's a fucking idiot, they thought. That's, I'm assuming, what they thought.
Like, that's a genuine... Like, living on a farmhouse as well. surely you would check if there's anything in the walls.
Yeah. And we even gave her a bottle of water and said it was monster spray so that she could spray away any of the monsters at night.
Don't lie to the child.
Well, to be fair, if they're that age, so like
26.
You could just be like, oh, this spray, they're idiots. So it was like, this spray will get rid of all the monsters. Ha 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 ha, joke, ha ha. Because if you don't think it's real.
It's like orange scented, all the bees fucking swarm her.
Smells like pollen.
Yeah.
But over the following months, Sailor became more insistent that there was something in her closet. Months
this went on.
Imagine the noise.
The noise, but like a child trying to process this and being like, okay, it's in my head, it's all made up. But then there's some primal part of her brain that is just like, no, this is really fucking here. I'm really hearing this.
Yeah, like, and the child is young enough that they're like, well, I'm going to trust my parents.
Yeah, they've never steered me wrong before.
No.
But this monster spray is doing precious little for the situation.
I'm stung every night, thousands of times. The mother then called the pest control company after it began to make a bit more sense, because she noticed bees swarming in clusters near the attic and chimney outside their 100-year-old house. They thought Sailor might be hearing the buzzing near her bedroom ceiling. So they went and got the pest control company, and that found the winged insects were honeybees, a protected species in the US. The beekeeper noticed the insects were travelling towards the floorboards of the attic, right above her daughter's bedroom. The bees had spent 8 months building their monster hive in the attic.
Like, and that's just what bees do. They'll just set up somewhere.
Yeah. The beekeeper brought a thermal camera to scan the walls in the 3-year-old's bedroom, and Ashley estimates the damage from the honeybees will cost over $20,000 to replace.
Jesus. Were the bees like structural to the house, do you think? Like all the
so you get rid of them and the whole thing comes down.
The whole thing caves in. Yeah. Do you think there's any possibility of that happening?
There's one of them doing fucking carpentry over the corner, keeping the place afloat.
How do you get rid of every bee? How do you know?
If you're the beekeeper, I think it's a weird situation. If you are there, and they're like, how do I get rid of it? I think you have to be cab, but inside you've got to be shitting yourself to be like, this is 60,000 bees.
See, like, bees inherently aren't dangerous unless you threaten them. Like, they don't want to sting you. They know they'll die.
Yeah.
But they're still, it's still a 60,000 of anything, I think.
So apparently they opened the wall to reveal a large honeycomb that was inside it. They just came pouring out like a horror film set.
It would look like a bad special effect from, like, an 80s horror. Like it would just, bees.
It would just be like a black blur. Like, thousands of them.
And the sound as well. We always come back to the sound.
Just the sound. Like, how did they not hear this?
Well, the kid did, and the parents just didn't care.
No, didn't give a fuck. The beekeeper removed between 55,000 and 65,000 bees and over 45 kgs of honeycomb. That's near over 100 pounds of honeycomb that was in the wall.
Right, okay. How much is honeycomb worth? Because has he just robbed this family blind? So 45 euro for 2 kilos is what I'm getting here.
That's
the sale price. Yeah.
Okay. So it's 45 kilos in here.
45 kilos. So 45. Oh, fucking hell, this is bad. How do I do math?
$8,000.
Is it 8,000?
I don't know. I guessed.
Okay, hang on. We can work this out. So 2 kilos is 45. So 45 kilos. Would be. I genuinely can't do this. This is fucking bad. This is really terrible.
Okay. So how much is it?
It's 45. There's a way to do it.
So what's it's 22 and a half
euro per? It's 22 and a half euro per kilo. There's 45 of those.
There you go.
1,012.50 euro.
So you get a grand back. Of the 20 grand that you need to spend. So really, you're still down 19 grand.
It's easy money is all I'm saying. Get the bees in for a bit.
It's not easy money. You had to have your child in a house with the bees for 8 months.
Bees are protected. Your house is protected.
There have been three extractions by reverse vacuuming the insects out of the wall to put them into boxes. The insects are then being relocated to a honeybee sanctuary. They've had to screen off the room between extractions to prevent the bees from buzzing around her home. They apparently damaged the whole house's electric wiring. And they say the homeowner's insurance won't cover it because they deem it preventable. Because it's pest related.
Was it that? They've newly moved to that house, have they?
No, it's a 100-year-old house. It doesn't say they newly moved. I don't think. I think they've lived there for a long time.
Oh right, that's even weirder then. I guess it is preventative.
It's their fault.
They should have bee-proofed the attic.
You gotta bee-proof your attic. That's rule one for any house.
You and I have bee-proofed our attics.
I've set a shotgun up on a string.
Yeah. It's the only way to do it.
It's just aimed at the window.
If
one piece of honeycomb lands in that attic, that shotgun's going off and taking out at least 1 to 2 bees.
And it's very bold of bees to be like, here, we'll just have this attic. Usually they're fine with a small little hive.
Do you think the bees went house hunting and they found that house rather than just one of them set up there?
I just think it's weird that they picked an attic instead of the usual, little oval egg-shaped thing that hangs from a tree.
Can I ask you a question? Is the child after this going to be like, see, I told you?
Oh, they got to get something out of it.
Surely, you got to get some goodies out of this.
I think honestly, what they've gotten is that they no longer trust their parents implicitly. They've realised that adults are fallible.
Long-term damage has been done maybe between the paternal and child relationship, is what you're saying.
I think so, and better it happens now, honestly, because that'll happen. That'll hit you on a random Tuesday someday.
You'll be 15, you'll be walking to school, and eventually you'll think, fuck, my parents are fallible. And at that point, then it's game over. But she's gotten there early.
So can you find out Superman can't actually fly?
Wait, what?
He's not real. Yeah, I'm
sorry. Wait,
what? Yeah.
Sorry, just run that past me again.
Yeah, there's no way that a man could fly.
No, I've set up that Superman shotgun reverted.
I know,
trap.
Yeah, look. Yeah, you can repurpose it to the bees, I suppose.
It's the same shotgun.
It's 2 for 1.
It's just in case Superman takes up and starts doing honeycomb in my attic, then the shotgun goes off.
So wait, in this reality, you believe Superman exists and can fly and is superpowered, and you think a regular shotgun
gonna
is
get
all
him
you're
good
when
he's doing that up that honeycomb.
You know what? It's a bold move.
If he starts living up there, he's going to be cooking his little dinners, little tins of beans, and he's going to have a little twig that has like a little bag on it. He's homeless now.
Why would he be? Sure, he can just fly into space.
No, man, no.
Does Superman need to eat?
He's got it hard times, and so he's going to live in an attic, and he's going to eat
Lois?
His beans, and the old shotgun's going to get him just because with his back is turned. Yeah, his shotgun's going to get him.
You're going to shoot Superman in the back of the head.
Yes.
Yeah, I see no flaw with this, actually. Connor Luther.
It's a perfect plan. I mean, I don't understand what the issue is.
Yeah, it's just kill a god.
Batman's always on to me. He's like, how are you taking these guys out? I'm like, shotgun on a string, bro. Yeah. Shotgun on a string.
Bruce, you're not going to like the answer, but it is just a gun.
Have you ever seen Saw 1? Have you ever seen when the guy from Lethal Weapon running through the little alleyway and he runs over a string and a shotgun goes off and kills him? What I want is shotgun on a string, but for all the supers. I think it might work, and I think you need to pay me the money, Bruce, for this invention.
You don't have to fire it. It's on a string.
So then technically it's not breaking your rule, Bruce, you, when you think about it.
It's clean. I know you're Bruce as well, by the way. I figured that out.
Shotgun. I know all the secret identities because I've shot all your parents. Sorry, wait, yeah. What?
What? Oh, no. I held Alfred at gunpoint.
I had my shotgun on a string in an alley.
And that was my alley and they walked there.
The worst killer of all time, just shotgun on a string. Just like, one of these is going to get somebody. Anybody. And then they'll know.
They find them based on the stringy boys. It's like very specific.
Yeah. It's bought this one hardware store. My See, God, this is the best string. Store.
He weaves it himself.
So Sean, I mean, I wanted to talk about this only because this is one of those where, as we always say, the noise alone would just drive you insane. I'm assuming psychologically that child is now damaged for life.
She's never listening to, like, you know when you plug a microphone in and that kind of buzz?
Yeah.
That's never her career as an audio engineer is fucking down
and
the
she was she I know she's only three, but she did have a lot of potential. Everyone knows that. She was actually editing this podcast.
Yeah, she was Daft Punk, actually. Was. I mean, rest in peace, like.
She's now Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Electric Picnic headliner Calvin Harris.
Did you see Kylie Minogue is headlining it as well?
Yeah, which is it's a very weird lineup.
It's a weird lineup. It's this. I mean, but then okay, this is a very Irish thing. But we have a music festival called Electric Picnic here, and all the stars go in the summer, and they have to go to a field in the middle of nowhere and play. Right? It's like Glastonbury, but less spectacular.
Pretty much, And the lineup's usually pretty good, I would say.
Well, it's decent enough, but before, like 10 to 15 years ago, we had a different festival that was called Oxygen. Now, Oxygen was, that was the real, they had money.
Yeah, they had a good amount of money behind it. And they got big acts.
One year they got like Jay-Z and Beyonce to go to a field in the middle of Kildare.
Like, insane. And now we're just left with, we have Codaline, I guess, in 2024.
Like it's, look, but when you've had like Beyonce and Jay-Z.
When you see how good it can be.
Yeah, then they're like, oh, we got this act who's pretty decent. And you're like, yeah, but like, why don't we just get like the biggest people in the world?
Nah, let's get Noah Kahan for that
How
one
do you
song.
Convince them to get on a plane to go to a field?
It's a good field, man.
It's a really nice field.
I'm going to see Green Day in June. And they're playing Dookie and American Idiot the whole way through. That's the concert.
What do you mean? They're just playing the two of them back to back?
They're just playing the two albums back to back in
or
order.
Or the two albums. Sorry, song American Idiot.
No.
Okay.
The whole thing.
Oh no, well look, if it's the album, I'm okay with that. That's absolutely fine. You know me, Saint Jimmy, I'm all in, right?
9 minutes, it's great.
No, that's not Saint Jimmy, that's Jesus of Suburbia is 9 minutes. 9 minutes, 6 seconds.
Jesus, your chest tattoo.
The waveform. I love when I just have a random fact that scares you in my brain. I know this really specific random thing. Don't question me on it, I don't know why I know it.
That's why you're good in a pub quiz.
Well, no, not really, because I'm really dumb. Like, but like, it has to be, the questions really have to come up my way. Have to be really niche.
There's a nerd pub quiz in town, and there's a comic books round, and I've been dominating.
Why have me and you not like teamed up? Why have you never invited me?
It's because I've only been twice. I've been on,
and you've dominated both times.
I've been a guest on a team. Yeah. So, but we'll do a little team.
Have you been annihilating people? What kind of questions are we looking at here?
Look, you get to pick one round to double. And it's always the comic book round, let me tell you.
I'm always doubling. Always.
Yeah, I'm going in hard. And fairly standard questions, I would say.
Yeah.
What's Peter Parker's parents' name?
Mary Jane and...
No, it's incorrect, actually.
Oh, fuck.
Well, you'll be put to death in the quiz.
Is it like, what's Batman's real name?
Well, Batman's real name is Batman, and Bruce Wayne is the mask.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's Richard and Mary Parker is Peter's parents.
Yeah, but like, we would clean up as a duo.
We would destroy, man. It would be so good. There's a video games round. It's all nerd stuff.
We would either destroy or we would completely disappoint the other two members of the team to be like, oh, this is our round. And we'd be like,
oh, we're locked in. And we're like, oh,
don't
I
know that one.
Ah, Jesus.
Ooh, move on to the next one. Next one.
Hit me again.
Ask me anything else. So, Sean, we're going to just fucking send an invite or something.
Yeah, fucking, I'd like you on, man.
It's actually been sly. Been sly now. Well, I'll be honest with you.
I didn't mean that and buy it. I didn't know I was going myself half the time.
I've just held it against you for the rest of your life. Don't worry about it.
Well, you work away there.
No, I'm going to take that back because you're going to get stressed. I think we're actually at odds.
It's on the day we record, though, so it's like you're under pressure.
That's difficult.
You train
enough. I do. So, Sean, Catholic priest spent 40 grand of church money on Candy Crush.
Oh. How's he allowed to do that?
I suppose the question is, how do you spend 40 grand on
this
Candy Crush?
This is the
Crush?
Worst thing the Catholic Church has ever done.
Of all the crimes the Catholic Church has done, this has got to be a top one.
How do you spend? What is there to spend on in Candy Crush?
Like, unlock different rounds?
But like, do you not just progress through the game?
A Pennsylvania priest is facing criminal charges after police said he stole thousands of dollars of church funds and used them for App Store transactions like virtual slot machines, Mario Kart, Candy Crush, and Pokemon Go.
Oh, okay. So he's buying like the in-game currency to let you do things.
Yeah.
You know how every property like Marvel and DC, there's a fandom, like a fandom wiki kind of thing?
Yeah.
I've just stumbled onto videogamemicrotransactions.fandom.com.
As in, like, are they for or against?
It's just they're logging them of like everything you can buy and do.
Oh, great. I think microtransactions are the best thing that's ever happened to any sort of medium, really.
I would agree, honestly. Yeah. Look,
I want to not be able to complete a game that I spend $75 on until I spend more money in-game.
I want to buy a game twice. Specifically, if you can lock lore behind extra money, I would love
it. I want to buy a beta for $75.
Yeah.
Allow the game to be built 6 months later, have a massive update for, I don't know, 5 to 7 gigabytes, then rebuild the game. Yeah, rebuild the game. But then in that, I want to have microtransactions so I get weapons that will help me progress. Because within the game, there's no weapons.
Let me hit you with this, Connor. Is that we let you buy something, but you don't know what it is. It's a random chance. And we set the odds.
And there's a 1 in 10 trillion chance you might end up with a good sword.
Yeah. So that could be you. Imagine how that would feel.
That could be me. I've seen Logan Paul get them. It must be easy.
It's really easy. Or just buy Pokemon cards.
I think, the sticker books were, like, the lowest level of, like, microtransactions.
It's like the gateway. Did you have wrestling cards or, like, match attacks when you were in school?
Yeah, well, I think they were, like, Top Trumps, I think, back then.
Yeah, Top Trumps was a big one. They were fun.
There was loads of different versions. Like, well, I suppose Yu-Gi-Oh as well. I mean, the Pokemon cards.
Yeah. Bakugan? Were you a Bakugan kid?
I wasn't a Bakugan, no.
Neither was I, but I thought they were neat. They were like marbles that turn into robots.
Marbles was pretty... But I don't think you could microtransaction a marble. I think you just were buying a marble.
Oh, I definitely swapped marbles.
Yeah, swapping is different, though, because you know what you're getting. It's not like buy this pack of mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, you see what's happening, I guess. I once built a whole Yu-Gi-Oh deck in a day, just asking for people's doubles that they weren't using. It wasn't a good deck, but I did it.
Why?
Just to see what people would part with, I suppose.
So you were like, just give me some money, otherwise. Just
yeah.
Just take it. Give me your shoes.
had a flame swordsman in there. That was pretty cool.
Pretty good.
All right.
The affidavit written by a Pennsylvania state police detective alleges that there were over 2,000 transactions marked as gaming in a document running from September 2019 to June 2022. The slot machine apps named in the complaint, like Cash Frenzy, Willy Wonka Vegas Casino Slots, and Wizard of Oz Slot Machine Game, do not award real-world money for wins in the game, but they do allow you to spend real-world money to play the game.
So what do you get out of it then?
Microbucks.
You get ones and zeros.
You get like itchy and scratchy bucks.
It's that, yeah, no one accepts them. It's like I've never gotten into gambling. I don't get it. Maybe I'm bad at it. I just don't understand it.
If I
lost 50 quid, I'd be sour.
I think that's because you have a drinking problem, so you can't have the two problems simultaneously.
Whoa. What the fuck? What, I'm catching strays over here.
You've got a heroin problem, so you can't have a gambling addiction. No, I think me and you, though, are like... I've never bought anything, ever. Because I just remember my dad growing up being like, that's fucking dumb. Like, why would I do that? And I was just like, yeah, it makes sense. Why would I do that? Because if I give you a fiver, I might not get my fiver back. I don't really want to do that.
It's, the bird in the hand were two in the bush kind of thing.
But you know what that is? Because we've never had a win. Yeah, that endorphin rush of the win. I suppose, not to get too serious, but I mean, betting has completely ruined sports in all sorts of in all ways. And I think it's one of possibly the worst thing that's ever happened to sports in the history of the game, in that they're like now betting on everything. And so they have basically taught a whole generation of lads that you cannot watch a game unless you bet how many corners are in the game or how many goals will be in the game.
You need to have some deeper interest in what you're watching.
You can't just watch it. You have to have an emotional investment in that you will have a financial loss if something happens.
Yeah, and then you care even more. And then those high highs are even higher. Like,
I just that is... I really hate all that. I could get into that. But
it's
like,
real bad. We let the gambling companies make the gamble responsibly ads. Do you think that'll be pretty good? There's a little free one for you.
They're like, spend all your money with us. Bet on the big game and all your friends. Please bet responsibly. Sell your house. Sell your kids. Bet on the game. You might win. We don't know. You'll get your ex-wife back. She'll love you.
Know when to please stop, but here's a free bet.
Here's a free bet. Bet responsibly, please.
This one costs nothing. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's free. Bet responsibly. a review of his Amazon account also found that the parish card was used for gifts for his goddaughter, like an Amazon Fire tablet and a chemistry set. In an interview with the investigating detective...
A man of science.
Weird. Kozik reportedly described the spending money on his slot apps not as gambling, but it rather as powering up, Sean. You see, I'm not gambling. I'm powering up.
I I'm not binge drinking. I'm gaining experience.
Yes. Like, I'm getting stronger.
I don't think... But there's no... None of those things are necessary for the priesthood. Like, why can he charge those things to that card? I mean, he can't, clearly, because he's in a lot of trouble.
Because he was using people just their givings to the church.
Was he taking it out with a plate or something like that?
No, I think the plate goes into a big pile. I'm assuming there's a big fucking money room in the back that Scrooge McDuck style up to the ceiling of coins, and then they like he's been going in and putting that into the bank and then using it on the card. I'm just tapping it.
Using those coin exchange machines.
Yeah.
I paid for a 30 quid shopping in coins one day.
Bro. You're one of those people, is what you're telling me.
I went to a self checkout, it wasn't that bad.
So you one by one put in like your 10 cents.
Yeah, it was bad. got like a roast chicken and everything. It was great.
I hope it was like Saturday at like 1 o'clock. Just like packed.
No, this was like Sunday at 9 p.m. Like, it was a grim time to be in a Tesco.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. I mean, I told you, but there's a guy on the train that I get in when I go to work, is that the guy that's betting with like multiple different things. I think I said that on the show.
You've sent me this.
Look, he's proper like gamer.
Yeah.
Like, you walk on, he's got the laptop open with the, he's got poker on, and then he's got his phone with the betting app, and then he has another tablet with a betting app as well.
He's locked in. Like,
he's locked in. It's 6:14 in the morning, I gotta tell
you. How do you wake up and have that kind of stress in your life? I get it, it's an addiction and everything like that.
He's committed to the game. You know what I mean? He's going to go far.
Like, there's a guy I follow on Instagram, and he's betting 10 cents on blackjack for every follower he has. And he's up to like a million followers. So he's putting like $100,000 on a round of blackjack.
Yay, let's keep encouraging.
And it's digital, guys, so I don't trust either.
Guys, it ruins families, it ruins lives. Please just
no one to stop.
Spend your fiver on your family.
Patreon. You get a movie review every month. Or will you? Who knows?
One of the most disgusting promotional tactics ever. Don't bet on games. Give it to us.
It'll be safer with us.
We'll mind it. We'll mind it for you, lads.
We'll look after it. What else are you doing?
Look after it. You get all this extra content. And look, it's not a bet. That's
like
going to come out.
Back.
I can't afford your school shoes this week, lad. I have paid ears for your podcast.
Would you like to listen to Irish Wish?
It's a good movie. Sean, moving on to Florida Man, because I have Florida Man pops open beer during police encounter because it was cold and he wanted to drink it.
Fucking hell, that's a power move.
Many believe it's a crime to let a beer warm up. What a win! What a start!
I would rather die than have a room temperature course.
Many believe it's a crime to let a beer warm up, but one Florida man wasn't taking any chances. Even as police surrounded him with guns drawn during an investigation, Brett McPeak. Peak is spelt, by the way, as in like peaking around the corner. It's Brett McPeak. Found himself behind bars on multiple charges after he allegedly began firing shots following a fight he had with a neighbour. But before his arrest, he shared his desire to crack open a beer.
It's like when you're at like a firing squad in the Old West times and they give you a cigarette. It's like one for the road, old buddy.
According to the police department, on Tuesday night, officers responded to a neighbourhood after McPeak and his neighbour got into a disturbance and one threatened the other neighbour with a gun. While officers were collecting information about what happened, McPeak exited his home and fired multiple shots into the air with the police there.
With the police there?
Yeah, they were questioning the neighbour.
I mean, and he was like, oh, they clearly think he's the one. Time to celebrate.
Officers were then obviously seen moving in where they had heard the shots fired and found McPeak outside his home. Stay right there, a police officer said, could be heard telling McPeak on the video camera. I'm cracking this beer, okay? I'm not going to bother you. This beer is cold, sir, and I want to drink it.
And like the noise of the crack, they all just opened fire on him.
McPeak did not have the gun on him at the time of arrest, but officers found two handguns inside his house.
He could have dual wielded the whole time.
He was dual wielded handguns and then changed it for beers.
He had a big mustache. He was dancing as he did
it. He was dancing. Yeehaw, he said as he jumped. But Sean, what do you think of Florida Man here? I mean, bold strategy to wait for the police to arrive and then begin firing into the air.
Yeah, unless he thought, like, I'm going to impress these guys with how cool my gun is.
Oh, it was kind of like, maybe they'll let me join the team, because they're like, they're going to be against my neighbour. They're talking to him now, and they know he's a prick, because, I mean, talking to him, they got to understand that he is.
They'll be up here firing with me in just a second.
Guys, come on, yeehaw with me. Come on.
Let's all join in together, huh?
A big yee-haw. So, Sean, I mean, tactics-wise, not the best. But
no. What, like, I'm trying to think, is there any other justified thing to do when being surrounded by police. Cracking a beer is it's a weird vibe. Genuinely, I think lighting a cigarette would probably be more acceptable to them. Because you're under a lot of stress.
Unless there's a situation where you've poured gasoline for 20 metres behind you, and then you take one slow drag, and then you drop the cigarette, and then there's an explosion.
Or what if you and your friend were stopping a robbery and everything was on fire? Now, you have the power to control ice in this scenario. And so you're just getting a drink. You're just having some water. That joke is purely for Connor. And he's loving it.
Fantastic. I'm just getting a glass of water.
I'm just getting thirsty.
I'm thirsty. Yeah, yeah, I know. Freeze. I mean, it's fantastic. It's a great scene. Everyone knows.
It's phenomenal.
If you haven't seen 2004's Brad Bird's movie, The Incredibles, I would recommend going to see it now. It still holds up.
That's up on the Patreon as well.
We actually did do a review on that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was arrested and brought into jail. He was also under the influence of alcohol at the time. I'm surprised.
We're aware. Like, he's probably one of the first instances of caught in the act.
He's literally drinking the beer as they arrest him.
As they bring him in. He's got it between his teeth.
Classic foreign man. I think he was caught. It's one of those where, like, he obviously tried to get away with it by shooting directly in front of them, but apparently if you do that in front of them, then they see you doing the crime, and then they're more likely to arrest you.
Yeah, and those bullets are going to come down, right?
I never understand that myself. Where did they land?
There has to be somewhere around the place they were fired, sure. Like, they'll go up a long way.
True.
In, like, some kind of arc. But they got to come down within, like, 500 metres of where you shoot it.
So then if you kill someone like that, you're a murderer.
It's manslaughter, I would say, because you didn't plan on... If you can aim that to hit them, fair play.
It's like a kill cam and like caught back in the
you're
day.
You're like licking your finger before you do it. You're checking the wind.
2 miles per hour left. Okay, southeasterly winds. Okay, come back.
Yeah, your eyes are closed. You're just like you're fully using the force.
So, Sean, we're going to finish off this week with Florida man that really caught my eye. He couldn't really get past the police because Florida man allegedly chucks past a driver during road rage over glaring headlights.
Oh, that's... I mean, what kind of pasta? Was he trying to spaghetti away?
Did you pick up on my pasta police one? No? Okay, cool.
No, not really.
A Florida man is accused of tossing pasta with pasta sauce at a driver, striking him with the food... through his open window after becoming frustrated with the glaring headlights. So Nolan Goines.
That's a man's name, Connor. What are we laughing about?
Nolan Goines.
We could have a Goines listening to us right now.
Goines. There's no Goines listening to this. Goines.
Shout off in the comments. Dox yourself.
my Goines fam. Shout off. Nolan Goines. Spelt like coins, but with a G. Was arrested and charged with simple battery in connection with the incident. The saucy attack happened at around 9 p.m. Nolan was arrested as what happened was he became enraged because of glaring headlights. He allegedly threw pasta with sauce on it through your man's passenger window and hit a man who was driving in another vehicle. Right? The victim was not injured in the pasta attack, although he became covered in sauce on his arms, legs and torso.
As is one to do when you get a bowl of pasta and sauce thrown at you.
Deputies later found Goines with pasta stains on the right sleeve of his shirt, caught orange-handed.
It's red, you can say red.
It's red-handed, we can go with that. I mean, so he was arrested. His bond is $1,000 due to the fact that he's so dangerous. He's one of the worst criminals we've ever covered here. Sean, I mean, this man he's a menace.
He is. Someone should tell him to be careful. Macaroni? If you had to have food thrown at you, right, what are you picking? It's got to be soft, right?
If I have to have food thrown at me, what am I picking? Can it be like a sweet?
It can.
I'm thinking, you know those marshmallows that are like...
You're taking
a marshmallow, no matter how hard they throw it at, you're not getting hurt.
That's, see, you know what, because I did go coconut originally, but that sounds much better.
Like, even jelly beans hurt, right? Yeah. You're not going jelly bean.
You got a
right?
jelly bean.
Marshmallow, no matter how hard they throw that, there's no way it's hurting.
But that's getting into like the seat of the car and it's a hot day. It's going to melt everywhere.
So, wait, but what happens? What do you throw if you want to cause the most damage?
The most damage? Jawbreaker? That's just a rock.
One of the big massive ones.
Yeah. You got it, or like a stick of rock you'd get at the beach and just like whiff it at him.
Just beat the shit out of him, yeah.
Like a billy club kind of thing.
I just think Florida Man, I think this is his worst crime yet. The pasta sauce and the pasta. Is it cooked pasta? Where did he get the pasta?
Gotta be cooked pasta, right?
Does he just have pasta on him in a little tub?
If you were eating breakfast, say, would you take that into the car with you? Would you take a bowl into the car?
No, I'm not taking a bowl of cereal in the car, no.
There was one time we were going to school and I was midway through a cup of tea and I just took the mug in the car with me.
Mm.
I felt really wrong doing it.
It's not the place for a cup of tea.
It doesn't belong there.
Yeah. Like, no, I think if I had like a breakfast biscuit, could bring that in.
Biscuit, yeah. That's an on-the-go kind of food.
Yeah, on the go. But I'm not bringing like a fucking 3-course meal or anything.
No. Like, I mean, the suckling hog is in the back seat.
I mean, you're a psychopath if you bring a plate into a car.
Now, I've done that for transport, going over to like Christmas and stuff.
I'm talking like you have a fork and you have a plate and you sit in the passenger seat and start eating off the plate. That's a psychopath move.
Yeah. No, that's wrong, to be fair.
That's unhinged.
Where do you stand on a hot dog in one of the little takeaway hot dog containers, the foam boys?
I think you can get away with that. I think you can definitely get away with that one. Yeah. Now, you're going to get ketchup all over it. I'm driving a 17-wheeler.
Eating a hot dog driving is one of the most I don't give a shit moves you could possibly do.
While going through like a school well built up area.
Yeah. You're talking on your phone as well. It's like nestled into your shoulder.
Sorry, I'm just eating my hot dog here. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. Work away.
That's it for this week's weird news and episode, Sean.
What a good episode 5. I think it's the best one we, or indeed anyone, has ever done.
Certainly the strongest episode 5 we've ever done.
Yeah, that's... you know what? Incredibly true and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to take us out, Connor?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Heroes for Hire podcast. We will be back on Friday with Hero or Zero and next Monday with another episode of the show. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast. Link to that is in the description. And big shout outs go to Roisin and Baby Ben Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Waffles Loves You and Hopes You Have a Good Day, David Clark, Sean Chuckling the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Looks Forward to the Next Irish Animal Story, Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost Overwhelmed by Uni and Other Bad Choices, Ed Ball, Connor and Lorraine are certain you could kill someone with a compass, just aim for the carotid artery. Russ is wondering how often does old Sean check these Patreon names we put all this effort into. Parfit, Luke the Gamer 1, Jackson Bruheim has released a new episode of Can Columbo Crack the Case, Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tips, please subscribe to the Patreon, Kira Lawler, Judge Lahey, The Amazing World of Keza, Mikey the Ledgebag, Chair's number one fan, Chair, Kyle Borowski, Rory, Sean's up to the Patreon after 10 creamy pints. Pete can't wait to hear his name read out on the podcast, so definitely won't make it too long. And Jack Markham, thank you all for your support. We hope you enjoyed Irish Wish, or at least us talking about Irish Wish. I don't think anyone could enjoy it. But head on over there if you want to support the show. There is also the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter's at heroesforhirepod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Diddleman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
Hello, Sean. I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Lee. That was nice.
See you next week.